Nearly a decade ago, I found myself filling the hours by listening to podcasts while my husband, Brooks, was training with the U.S. Army. Walking the streets of our Army post, I dreamt of creating something for women that bridged that gap between sermon audio and small talk. It was on the floor of my tiny closet on post that very dream. The dream for the Journey Women podcast came to fruition in June of 2017. And today, by God's grace, Journey Women is now a not-for-profit ministry with the aim of moving women to know and love God more. Our monthly and one-time givers help make our mission possible. If you'd like to support the work that we do, you can make a tax-deductible donation by visiting journeywomen.org/give. Thank you for investing in the work of Journey Women. Welcome to the Journey Women podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Belis. Life's a journey we were never meant to walk alone. We all need friends along the way. On the Journey Women podcast, we'll chat with mentors about gracefully navigating the seasons and challenges we face on our journeys to glorify God. On this episode of the Journey Women podcast, I had the privilege of chatting with Heather McFadden of the God-Centered Mom podcast on the topic of, you guessed it, motherhood. Heather and I talk about all things mothering, from prioritizing time in the Word to gospel-centered encouragement for tired moms like me. This episode is truth-filled, rich, and I probably laughed a little too much. Here's a little more info about our guest. She's been married since the turn of the century, and she has four boys born exactly within 6.5 years. Whoa! Heather hosts a weekly podcast, and her heart is for moms to know God's great delight over them and how He sees the unseen eternal work that they do every single day. I hope you guys enjoy our chat as much as I did. Let's get started. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, who you are, and what you do for listeners who may not have heard of you yet.
I'm Heather McFadden, and I'm a mom to four boys, and I host a podcast every week.
Yes, you do. And you do such a great job at it, too. I am amazed at the multitude of topics that you have. What a resource. I have scrolled so many times looking at all the different shows, and I'm like, this is gold.
I think about if I just committed to doing one thing every week, eventually you'd have a lot of something.
You have a lot.
If people, book writing's intimidating, but if you wrote a page a week, eventually you'd have a lot. Or if you wrote, a chapter a week, eventually you'd have a lot. So
yes, absolutely. Well, we are going to talk about motherhood because I know you don't want to hear this, but it's like, yes, to have the God-centered mom come and talk about motherhood.
I just told our friend Meredith that last night. I'm like, the one thing I don't like about the title of my show is yes. The God-centered mom. Ah, it's a goal for me. It's a moment by moment choice. It's not an arrived title of, holier than thou, that y'all just need to catch up and get to me. I've got it figured out over here.
Follow me. Hey, get in line.
No.
Really and truly, you guys should go check out her podcast because it is a gem, a wealth of information. And I'm so excited to get to hear from you today on this particular topic. So I'd love just to hear from you. Motherhood is one of those things that I think traditionally has been thought about in a certain way. Mm-hmm. You are a mom if you have biological kids or whatever. And I think that's broadening, but I'd love to hear from you if you have some kind of definition of motherhood. Just who are you talking about when we're talking about people who fall under the umbrella of mothers?
As far as the role, and I think of all the different roles that people have the opportunity to play in a lifetime, motherhood feels unique and special in that it's the one role you get to intimately love another human soul and kind of a selfless service, tangible grace, moment-to-moment discipleship. If you've ever served in any ministry, this is the one ministry where they're seeing you in your worst place, in your best place, and you get to minister to them in their hardest moments and their best moments. It's such an interweaving of lives, I think even beyond your spouse at times.
Yeah.
Because they're part you. Or through adoption, I think it's hard in a unique way too, because you get to see a perfect reflection of God's love and how we get grafted into the kingdom because of Jesus. And I was thinking, a couple things. One, when Jesus was on the cross and he looked down and he saw his mom, and he told his disciple that now she would be his mom and that now he would be the son, like that even Jesus saw that the role of mother can be transferred to a person. It doesn't have to be this womb thing, biological thing, but it's a role that you get to play in a person's life. And honestly, I also think with motherhood, I mean, it's a two-way sanctification process. We're rubbing against each other, and we're both becoming more like Jesus in the process, and we're learning how to surrender our wills and be dependent on Jesus and be humble in the right ways and what actually grace might look like. But I think where we get messed up sometimes is thinking that the child is ours and we need to make them into something, and forgetting that, like that scripture in Jeremiah, before I was formed in the womb, God knew me. Yeah. So before I even was, a womb was chosen for me, he knew me. And then he knew the path I would take. And then he knew if I would choose him. And he knows the things that I have ahead. And so to remember that each of our children are on their own journeys, so to over bubble wrap them and protect them from things, or to think that we have to sign them up for all the things or they're going to miss out, is to sabotage that God actually has them on some journey. And, you know, the hurricane for children that had to go through the horrific process of being uprooted from their homes and their homes being destroyed. We do not want this for our children, but it's part of their story.
Yeah.
And we can't forget that God will use it if we allow him and if we shape it for who knows what. I mean, the most inspiring stories are oftentimes from people who've gone through really hard things.
Yeah.
And it motivates them to do amazing things. So having a really easy, perfect life isn't, even though that's what we think we want as moms, to protect them and keep everything nice and safe, we might be sabotaging a bigger goal God has for our kids.
Yeah, totally. And I love, you know, you're talking about that biblical foundation for our design. And that's a podcast that's coming out before this one on identity. So I would really encourage everyone to go back and listen to that podcast with Matt Lance on the topic of identity. And one of the things that I've heard, you know, as I'm talking about this topic is that we should train up a child, this is a proverb, in the way he should go, but how the literal Hebrew there means in the way he was bent. And so as you're talking, I'm also thinking about the temptation, not just to protect them, but to try and
make them into something.
Yeah. Make them into whatever it is that we think that they should be. And yet as you're saying, God has an intention for them. What Ephesians 2:10, you know, he is created for good works that he's prepared for them beforehand. And so who are we, you know, to try and force them to do what we think would be best when God has a clear intent for them? So to kind of be shepherding them along, as you're mentioning, is such an honor. And yet it's such a temptation to try and control that.
And it's tricky too when you get kids into school settings or Mother's Day out and you have other voices coming in and you get discouraged sometimes. I have all boys.
That's a whole different world.
Well, there's a cultural thing, right? So we have the culture of America versus the culture of India or the culture of China where boys are valued.
Yeah.
And baby girls are killed because of all of the structure of their culture. So there's that our culture doesn't value boys in the same way other cultures do. Then there's the time and history that we're in, where an agrarian society or like an agricultural time, we would be like the richest family on the block. We have four boys that could do all the work and we'd send out for our boys to help you. We would have the neighborhood covered with workforce with our boys.
Yeah.
But now it's nope, sit still, be quiet, be controlled. Put this device in front of you so that you're not a trouble or a problem. It's not appreciating, like you said, that bent, that wiring, but conforming them to something that wasn't even maybe how God designed some men to be. So one of my boys is a lot more testosterone driven, a lot more aggressive than the other ones. And his body is just kind of all over the place. And I remember vividly in kindergarten, a teacher just talking to me, he really needs to work on his self-control and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was just like, after she said it, all I could see in him was his lack of self-control.
Oh.
And I was just kept, you know, bringing it up. Well, God, why can't you control yourself? And oh my goodness, I can't believe you can't control yourself. Because I was hearing her voice. I was feeling like I'm a bad person because he's not doing what she's expecting. And I wasn't a good mom to work on self-control. And one of my morning quiet times, I prayed and I said, God, I need help. How do I train him to have self-control? And God said, I made him to be impulsive.
Mm.
I made him to be a mighty warrior for me. I want, when I call him to battle, when I call him to a hard place and something that not a lot of people want to run into because it looks hard or dangerous, I want him to do it without thinking. And I don't want him to be forced to be so self-controlled that he doesn't have that warrior spirit in him. And so I just had to take a step back and speak that over him. And when the next time I saw my son, I told him that, he like puffed up his chest and felt,
sweetie.
I mean, seeing in your kids, oftentimes their strength, just like all of our strengths, can have balconies and good parts and basements and hard parts. And I think in the little years, we often see the hard parts of the strengths.
Yeah.
Leadership strengths look like that. It's very hard to lead leaders. And when you have a three-year-old who's a born leader, it's very okay, you can tell me this is good that they're a leader, but it does not feel good right now.
They're not doing what I want.
Yeah, they're not doing what I want. And this is very hard. I'm supposed to be in charge.
Yes.
Yeah. I have one who's very futuristic in his thinking, and I'm very present tense.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for me, but we've learned to negotiate those conversations because he'll ask me what we're doing the next day or for the next meal. And I'm like, I'm just doing right now. This is my next goal right here. And I'll explain it to him and he'll, you know, recognize that he's thinking about the future and I only think about right now. And we can talk about that and how we're each uniquely wired and gifted.
It's so amazing to see that unfold. And we're at the very beginning. You know, I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so my 1-year-old, her little personality is just coming out. And my 2-year-old is in full swing, but I still don't quite understand it. I think it will continue to be an unfolding of understanding over time.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure. Yeah. Our oldest, when I think back to what he was like at 2 and 3, and I thought he was so wild and so crazy, he was not at all compared to what came after him.
It's amazing how they're all so different, and you would expect them to be similar because they, especially if they're biological, you would think that they would be, but they're all so different. I've come to learn that very painfully.
Yeah, they could be the same gender and be very different.
Well, I'd love to hear, can you kind of describe, one of the things that I love to do on this show is just to tether the topic that we're talking about to the gospel. Do you have some kind of anchors for us just in the way in which motherhood relates to the good news of Jesus Christ?
Well, I think every moment really is a gospel-driven moment with motherhood.
At least in this house, it is.
Yeah. Whether a mom works outside the home or in the home or whatever she's doing, adopted, not, I just, biological.
Fostering,
you see very quickly your child's sin nature and your sin nature. And I remember once I was at a mom's group and I mentioned that children are born with a sin nature. And I had one mom stand up and leave.
Wow.
She was so offended. And I know that it's very hard if you didn't come from that kind of teaching to imagine.
Yeah.
How could a child, are you kidding? No, there is a definite philosophy that they learn it from us, that being making wrong choices is what some people call sin, making wrong choices. I define for my own kids, sin is choosing my way over God's way and thinking about what I want over what God wants.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I see that, and I saw that in my little kids all the time without them learning it from anybody or having seen it played out for anyone, by anyone. So I see their sin very blatantly, and I see my own very blatantly, how I want my way. I want my peace and quiet. I want my control. I want my plan. I want my emotions, which are to freak out. I don't want calm, peaceful emotions. I like to think my lies and not God's truth. I mean, so when I think of that and I hold in the tension of, so the gospel, the good news is that Jesus came, God made flesh, and he took the penalty for all that. And it doesn't mean that we won't ever sin again. It just means that when God sees me, he sees Jesus. And I have to remember, this really hit me when I was studying Romans recently, is when it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I'm standing on the same side as my kids.
Yeah.
We're all on one side. It's not like, why can't you get your act together? You better straighten up. I can't believe I keep telling you over and over again to stop hitting your brother. And thinking, okay, but I also know that I've talked to God over and over again about my issue with anger. And I've also talked to God over and over again with my tendency to be unloving and unkind. So why can't I get my act together? And when I separate, like, they're on one side and I'm on another who's all fixed and fine.
Yeah.
I'm accepting the gospel for me, but not presenting it to my kids.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful. I think my boys were in a fight and I just, you know, had this awareness and I said, I get it. Y'all are fighting because you, you know, God tells us we all sin. We're all in need of him. We all need help. We all want our way. And I'm so thankful that he sent Jesus. I'm so thankful that we aren't able to get ourselves out of this mess, but all we need to do is trust Jesus to help us get out of this mess. And you can ask him right now. I don't want to be kind to my brother right now. I don't want to be sharing. I don't want to choose peace in this situation. You can say, Lord, help me to choose peace. Help me to love my brother when I don't want to love him. And they responded differently than my normal, just stop it. Imagine.
Well, I think it totally breeds intimacy. Like it creates this intimate relationship with you as well, because it's no longer this distant person who's just looking down, but instead,
like an adversarial. Yeah. It's not adversarial. It's like we're on the same side.
Like you're there under the cross of Christ together, looking to Jesus to extend his grace to you. So that's totally one of my goals as a mom, just because I want my kids to know that mommy needs the gospel too. Like mommy needs Jesus every moment of every day, and to put that on display for them in the way in which we're seeking Jesus in the really small moments, even when I'm just flailing as a mom, you know, even when they're not in trouble and it's me. And I just look to Hadley and I'm like, you know what? Mommy needs to sit here, sit down, and I need to ask Jesus for help because I am really struggling with my anger right now. Can you just sit here with me? Can we talk to God together?
That's good. That's really good.
As you prepare for the summer, we want to share a unique way to introduce your non-believing friends to a local church, Skylark. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you need to know about Skylark Summer Camp for your kids or as a means to supplement evangelism. Skylark partners with gospel-centric churches to provide summer camps as a means of childcare. By meeting parents' needs for summer childcare for kids having completed kindergarten through fifth grade, Skylark positions the local church to meet the spiritual needs of their community. They offer gospel-rich curriculum that is new each day of their summer camp. Kids can attend for 1 week, a few weeks, or all 11 weeks. Choose from one of their four locations offering a full summer program in Dallas, Plano, Allen, and Mansfield. The cost is $325 a week, but you can use the code JOURNEYWOMEN for 50% off every single week. What? Head on over to campskylark.com to learn more. That's CampSkylark.com and use the code JOURNEYWOMEN for 50% off.
What encouragement do we have as we're kind of pressing forward and making little disciples when we do have those moments where we respond poorly, you know, because everybody, myself included, has not extended the gospel of grace, you know, in every moment of parenting. So when we fail, which I can think of like a million examples from myself off the top of my head, what would you encourage us to do? Because, you know, we have to kind of get back up pretty quick as moms and move forward.
I felt growing up, it was a very behavior-driven performance.
Yeah.
Like, I was told this is what God expected us to do, but it was to earn his love and to earn my parents' love, and it wasn't because his love was already given to me.
Yes.
And so I can often fall into that trap of get it together so that I like you.
Yeah.
thing. So when I fail and do that,
yes,
I don't often remember my parents apologizing for that, make a mistake. I may have known that that was a mistake, how they acted, and maybe they knew, but I don't remember it being a moment where they said, "Will you just forgive me? That was yucky, and I should have handled that better, and we all are going to make mistakes, so can you just really trust that I don't want to treat you like that? I don't, I love you." And there have been seasons where I felt like it was an hourly asking for forgiveness to the point where I was like, okay, there's confession and there's repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're in a season where you're constantly confessing the same thing to your kids, they will constantly forgive you. But at some point, there might be a deeper issue that you need to work with God to repent, which means to turn 180 from what you're doing. And trust that, you know, our children, yes, they will give us all the grace and will forgive us if we ask. But their heart, it kind of hardens a little each time.
Mm-hmm.
To us and trust a little less, and we might have like a director at our school called it a heartstring between our heart and theirs, and it might have gotten cut in that scenario, and we're retiring it, but we don't want to have to retie it so many times in a day that it's getting worn, because there's, you know, more issues that develop there. And so I found, you know, anger was a hot topic for me for most of my motherhood, and so our small group has been going through recovery, and it's been super helpful to pinpoint my anger was fear-based. Fear of my kids getting hurt, fear of other people's opinions and man's approval, fear of rejection, all fear-based anger, fear of losing control. So when God kind of pointed that out and through some prayer time too with friends, just really dealing with that spirit of fear that was on me. And as I could trace it all the way back to my childhood, early childhood, that fear had been kind of a common theme more than anger had.
Yeah.
I wasn't an angry little kid. I wasn't an angry teen, but I was a fearful child, and I was a fearful high schooler and college student and even young married. Anyway, I would just encourage mom listening. We are going to fail, and our kids will be so gracious to forgive us. But we can't take advantage of that to the point where we don't recognize a recurring sin in our life that God calls us to higher. He loves us no matter what, but he also, you know, Paul again in Romans, because we're given grace doesn't mean we're free to just do whatever we want.
Yeah.
It's his love and what he did for us motivates us to follow in his steps. And as I was looking at motherhood in the Bible, it's amazing how often God compares his relationship with Israel to a mom. And so again, outside of, you know, how the child came about or outside of what the mom's doing for a job, he talks about, you know, the nursing mother in Isaiah and how can she forget her nursing child and the compassion that she has, and he will not forget Israel. And in Isaiah 66, the mother comforts you, so shall you be comforted. So I'm seeing comfort. I'm seeing compassion. And then in Proverbs, children, don't forsake your mother's teaching. So that makes me think, yeah, we have that role. We're teaching constantly. And we learn in Timothy, 2 Timothy, about his faith coming from his mother and his grandmother. So we have this opportunity to be compassionate, comforting, teaching, faith-building women to whatever children God's placed in our lives, whatever souls he's handed us for that time. And if there's anything getting in the way of that compassion and comfort and teaching and faith building, that's where we need to spend some time with God and kind of in community, talk through why is that? what hurts am I holding on to from my past?
Yeah.
What lies are circling in my head that are causing my interactions with my kids to be consistently whatever it is, anxious. Maybe it's consistent anxiety, consistent fear, consistent sadness, depression. What is that?
Yeah, this is so good. And we could and probably will have an entire podcast on that. But for someone who isn't familiar with this idea of kind of doing this self-introspection, how would you suggest they begin to take inventory of these actions that they're seeing themselves exude and how to get to those roots like you talked about?
I've spoken on this once at a MOPS group, and I encourage moms to think about what's a predominant feeling they have.
Yeah.
To really think through in a given day, you know, maybe journal one morning, what did I feel a majority of that day? And if you can't remember, think about it that day. And then maybe journal out, what are some thoughts I had? Maybe three or four thoughts that you can remember having. Mm-hmm. And then going to God and saying, where is this coming from? What happens in my day because I'm thinking this? So, for example, maybe you think a lot that you're missing out. You see something on Instagram, or you hear another person got invited to something and you didn't.
Total FOMO.
All the FOMO thoughts. I'm missing out, missing out. And the, you know, ramifications of that are jealousy, or you could tear down what they're doing to make yourself feel better.
Yeah. Manipulation to try and get there.
Mm-hmm. All the things that could happen. So you write all those things down and you say, God, what is actually true? Like, will you just reveal through the power of your Holy Spirit what is true? And for me, when I asked him that question, he said, if you're in the middle of my will, you are never missing out.
Hmm.
You're never missing out.
Yes.
You weren't supposed to be at that thing. You weren't supposed to be asked to speak at that event. You weren't supposed to write that, you know, article or book, whatever it is. You were supposed to do the thing that I have directed you to do. And it's so freeing. And it might be that over the course of the next month, that thought, oh, I'm missing out, comes in your mind and you immediately take it captive with, nope, if I'm in the middle of God's will, I'm not missing out.
Mm, yeah.
So spending some time with God, doing an analysis of your feelings and your thoughts, and then what you do as a result, I think is a good place to start. I really loved this Celebrate Recovery, or the Recovery for Life.
Yeah, Meredith has told me about that.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's a good program, but not every church has it. But how is there?
It's an international Celebrate Recovery is international, and the book that we're using is actually a local gal that goes to our church. It's called Steps into His Grace or something like that by Lynn Hoffman.
Yes, we'll link to that in the show notes. You know, one of the things that you're touching on is just the lies that can bombard us as moms. I mean, you mentioned it when you were talking about your kindergarten classroom with your son. And then again, when you're just going throughout your day, experiencing FOMO, all these different things. I totally subject myself to the lies of the enemy throughout the day and constantly find myself having to renew my mind with the truth. So could you just kind of offer some lies that we may be prone to as mothers? And then can we talk about the truths that we should hold on to combat those lies?
Maybe it was a year ago, I started on Tuesdays doing the Centering Truth Tuesday.
You've got some rhythms, girl. We need to have you back on a rhythms podcast or something.
Yeah. Centering Truth Tuesday.
I'm loving it.
So I would post something that God shared with me that was true and revealed, like, what was the lie that I was combating with the truth. And
yeah,
I would ask women, you know, what's a lie that you're dealing with? Now, I realize women were reluctant to put it out there.
Yeah.
Publicly. So I kind of stopped asking. But I noticed a lot of them would say they're not enough. And a friend of mine, Brooke McLaughlin, she just wrote a book called Gospel-Centered Mom, very similar to God-Centered Mom.
I like the
wrote
title.
That book. Yep, and it's good. And she wanted to call it Not Enough, which I thought was great too, because she's basically saying that feeling you have is because you aren't.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that.
you aren't enough.
Yes, because there's so much women's lit, especially in the Christian world, that points us back to, yes, you're enough. You're enough. You know, you've been created in God's image, all these different things. But the reality is, like you're saying, apart from Christ, we are not enough and never will be.
And, you know, I've really been studying a lot this whole body, how we're made up, the theology of the body, kind of with body, soul, spirit. And
teach me. I'm excited.
We throw out all these words all the time, you know, flesh and spirit and soul. And what are those? Body being, in my mind, in my definitions that I'm working through, my cellulite and my zits.
I was going to say, hair. You know, we don't emphasize the body as much, Heather.
Yeah. Flesh. We call it flesh. Yeah. Like the Christian flesh. Yes. Like the battle between the flesh and the spirit. But like our body is like the thing that, you know, I birthed my children from. Yes. Like they came from my body. And then we have the spirit. And if you profess faith in Jesus and believe in his resurrection, and if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you're saved, right? And Jesus promised that in that moment, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And there's a spot for that in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And then there's this soul part, this mushy middle part. And I've found that in the Hebrew, there was a word for it, leb, L-E-B or leb. And summarizes what psychologists would call too the soul, where it's your thoughts, your emotions, and your will are all housed in there. And this whole not enough thing, I think, goes back to that, because when my soul is pulled towards my flesh, like if you picture concentric circles and the flesh being the outer circle and the spirit being the inner circle and the soul being the mushy middle between the two, the when I'm pulled outward towards the flesh, my thoughts are lies, my emotions are reactive, fear, anger, anxiety, my will is mine, I'm not thinking about other people's plans, I'm only thinking about mine. But when I am realizing I'm not enough and I need to rely on God and his spirit in me, we always say that. What does that mean? It means taking that time in his word. Taking a split second doesn't take long to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in you and to say, I need help right now.
Yeah.
I am choosing my way. I am struggling with anger. And to pull that mushy middle towards the Spirit and be lopsided towards the Spirit, then we see my will surrendered to God's, what his plan was for my kids, what his plan is for my day. My emotions can match what the Bible promises us, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. My will, emotions, thoughts, truth. I can be filled with truth because the Holy Spirit can whisper it to me.
Yeah.
What is true. He's got direct connection with God. He's listening into all the conversations. So when I think the lie, I'm not enough, and if I spend time with God's word saying you're not, but I gave you a helper.
Uh-huh.
I gave you the spirit in you. That would be the truth. I'd say I'm not, but God is. Holy Spirit, help me. And whatever it is, show me. Show me what you want me to know about you in this situation where I'm feeling not enough. Instead of feeling like you didn't make me right, or, oh, I just can't get it together. All my friends get it together. Yeah. Show me actually what's true about you, God, in this situation, instead of making it about me.
Yes.
Not getting it together.
Yep.
So that would be one.
Oh, man, that's a great example too. And I mean, I think so often we feel like we're just bombarded by all these thoughts. And like you're saying, sometimes it just feels so daunting to take a second and to actually seek out the truth, like you're saying, but man, it will change the trajectory of the rest of your day. I'm telling you what, I have spent days ruminating on lies, you know?
Yeah.
And just to take that extra second, like you said, to consult the Holy Spirit can change the trajectory of your whole entire day.
I remember when I had little kids, littles, and like I had to strap them all in.
Oh my word. Yeah.
It took a day.
Because you had like 4 and 6.5 years, right?
Yeah. They were all little. And
that's a lot of little
people.
When
you have them that close to, your oldest can probably do more than you realize, but you're just so used to doing everything for everybody.
Yeah.
That you kind of forget.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like 100 degrees in Texas and you're like, we are literally going to die. It was before the cars that could start themselves. If we don't get everybody in these car seats fast. And they would, of course, one of them would be flipping out about, oh, I don't want to get, and they'd be arching their back and you're like shoving it down, trying to buckle them. And I, in that moment, as I shut the door, would pray my little breath prayer, like whatever name I have for God and whatever I need help. That's a breath prayer, like an in and an out. Mm. Breathe in the name of God, breathe out what I need in that moment. And I would say it as I went around the back of the car to get to the driver's seat so that I could get in the car and be thinking about God and what he is wanting for me in this moment, when instead I was just like, this is too crazy. Why did I choose this life?
And this has been my dream. I read that in your bio, that six and a half years was your exact plan.
Yeah, like this was my plan. That's a total sarcastic. My plan was like some girls in there. That was my plan. I like ballet and tights and I like bows.
You're welcome at our home anytime.
Yeah, we don't have any of that in our house.
Love it.
One of the lies too I would say a lot is, I can't do this anymore. Like just a lie of weakness. Like I'm just not able, not just the not enough, but I can't push through and be a mom one more minute, one more day. I'm not going to be able to finish. And I think the practical thing to do for me in those moments is to recognize, even though I have high standards of how I want to raise my children, and I don't want to put them in front of a TV, and I don't want to do all these things.
I'm laughing because we've had too much screen time today, probably.
Well, but if you're in a place where you're about to lose it, your kids will remember less that they spent time in front of the TV than they will whatever meltdown and whatever you're about to lay down on them, because you're totally spent. Yeah. And I would say in that moment, put them in front of a show maybe, but don't just like go and you veg out too.
Yeah.
I would suggest like headphones, worship music.
Do what you need to do.
Yeah. And even if it's to go outside, if you live in a place where it's nice outside, and get out God's word. I mean, we don't think to do that. We think to go to Instagram. We think to go to Facebook. And that's, you know, when I had little kids, I didn't have those options.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious what it would have been like for me.
I've heard a lot of moms say they're really thankful.
I am so thankful. I had so many years with my kids where I was fully engaged and I wasn't distracted.
Yeah.
And I am so much more distracted as a mom now.
Yeah.
So much more. I'm feel sad. I feel sad for moms that have to do this battle all the time with the phone. But if you're to the end of yourself and do what you need to do so that you can go have a moment, but not a moment to have more time on your phone and or answer emails or check those social media, but like, be with God and sit with him.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Brooks has been in the field for the past 2 weeks. And so I'm coming off of 2 weeks of, you know, solo parenting.
We call that babysitting. For these 2 weeks. You don't have to you don't have to care about how they turn out. That's whenever my husband would travel, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to babysit because the babysitter.
We're
going
to go to Chick-fil-A multiple times.
Yeah, the babysitter just keeps them alive and has fun. That's what a goal of a babysitter is. She could care less how your kids turn out. The pressure of worrying about how they're going to turn out that makes moms go crazy. Yeah. So if you just like take on the role of a babysitter when husbands travel, then it's a lot more freeing.
Totally. And you know, in the vein of what you were talking about, just getting into the word, I think when we develop and continue to develop our theology, our understanding of who God is, and just a high view of the sovereignty of God, then we begin to have so much more grace for ourselves as mothers, because we realize, oh, we're actually not in control of their outcome, no matter how much screen time they have. So, you know, and I'd love to just hear practically, you're talking about in our crisis modes, having grace for ourselves, allowing ourselves to take those moments when we need them. But what are some other practical ways to just build in the habit of getting into the word as a mom?
I was really lucky to be a part of a church where mentors were highly valued. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in the rough seasons of 3 young kids, and even when I had my 4th, a lady had started a mom heart group inspired by Sally Clarkson. My friend Leslie Johnson started this group, and she had 4 boys. It was meant to be.
Yes.
And she mentored me, and some of her ideas I thought were really great. One is you just leave the Bible out.
Yes. This is something I have learned on accident. Yeah. You're so right, because it's always there when you pass by it.
She also, when she would find a verse that really struck her, she had a separate journal for keeping track of just verses that were encouraging or lifted her up. So even if she maybe didn't have the energy to open her Bible and try to find something, she had this one journal that had encouraging scriptures in it ready.
Man, I'm amazed she had time to write in the journal with the four boys.
Well, the key for me to have the time, even when I had babies that were waking up in the middle of the night,
right?
I started the Hello Mornings thing with my friend Kat Lee. I started doing that where I would wake up before my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you,
it makes
it's like a game changer. It's like a habit. And Kat's really good at helping any woman start the habit, and does not have to be this hour-long Bible study.
No.
5 minutes.
It can literally be 10 minutes.
If you get one scripture in your head that you can meditate on for the day, it will change your day from what it would have been like if you just woke up and started reacting to your kids' needs.
Somebody worded it to me as waking up to greet your kids versus being greeted by them.
It was totally true. I would just roll out of bed and be reacting all day instead of like having a second. So then, and the other thing that I didn't realize was a byproduct of making this a priority in my day. I thought I was just benefiting with having warm coffee and quiet.
Yeah.
My kids wake up to finding me in that chair with my Bible in front of me.
100%. I keep saying that. But Hadley, now when she comes out of bed, she just got a big girl bed. And we're trying to implement the okay to wake clock, the little clock that turns green when it turns 6:45. Yeah, it's not really working out because she comes downstairs and she's so adorable. And she goes, "Mom, I want to do Bible study with you." And I'm like, okay, whatever you want. You can have coffee too.
And you know what? Like I found, I think he was 3 or 4, maybe 3. He could find God in his little toddler Bible. Like he could find the word God and he could find the word Jesus. And so you just give him a colored pencil and you say, every time you see God, put a circle around it and underline Jesus. Inductive. And then he just went to town. Yeah.
Inductive at a young age. Wow. Exactly. Can't wait to see what the Lord does with this guy. That is amazing.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, will come and go. For the sleeping thing, there was a time when I took the digital clock and I covered up the minute numbers with a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And so it just saw the first number, the 6.
Yeah.
And then I put like folded into a triangle piece of paper on top that said a 7.
Yes. Like when
and
it
I said,
looks
when
like
that
this.
One matches that one, you can come out. But it doesn't always.
It doesn't always work, but it is a helpful goal in this home anyways.
A helpful goal.
Or,
yes.
You know, high goals, low expectations. I will also say that.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I loved what you were saying about how your community kind of came around you. And I have a lot of military listeners. We're military. A lot of girls that are just moving all around the country. And so sometimes finding a church body can be really difficult, especially right around post. I would love just to hear from you how it is that we can serve one another in community, especially in the church, for the tired mama.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because oftentimes when you're moving to a new place, you're the one that's having to put all the effort in.
Yeah.
To put the community together, and you're the one who's tired. And
oh my word, yes.
It's discouraging. Creating the thing that you want, being the friend that you want, is all the advice that I've heard. I know there was a season where I couldn't do the play dates. It was too stressful.
Oh, I can only imagine with 4 kids. And then you're like in the like season. So your other friends probably had like 3 or 4 kids and it's just total chaos.
Well, it just felt like all of my friends' kids were easy and yes. mine weren't. And they would just tell me all the time when my kids messed up. And it just reinforced, anyway, my anxiety of not wanting to mess up. And so I thought, this isn't very fun for me to be in these scenarios.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get together with girlfriends outside of kids. Mm. That's just what I'm going to do. And sometimes, you know, for the military mom, it might be too, if there's an older woman in your church, I don't know if posts have older women or not, but what I've found is helpful in that, so that you get some sort of relationships, is to invite that older woman that you've noticed, you know, I really love how she interacts with her husband. I'm loving how she is full of joy, or I love whatever it is that you see in her that you want to learn about yourself. Have her over for coffee, because often, you know, it's harder for you to get out, but they're willing to come over, and that provides that community. Or even if she's willing to come over and, you know, you invite a couple gals, you know, from around, and she leads. So you don't have the burden of leading, but you're willing to host something.
Yeah.
Often that community just takes time, and our schedules are so full. We don't say yes to things as often. Yeah. Everyone's busy. Everyone's filled up their calendars. So I do think it's really, it is very hard to form that community. There was a season when we weren't in a small group. We helped lead a Sunday morning class, but it was kind of a lonely time because we were pulled out from all of that. And then we just joined this new small group about a year ago, and it's amazing. Just regular weekly time together, you get to know one another.
Yeah, life on life. You cannot beat it. And I cannot echo the older people embracing the crazy that is those of us who have little kids and just coming into our space for us. Like, please do that. That is just, that is such a grace, because you're right. We have nap time and all these different things to navigate. And I'm just stressed out even thinking about trying to do that with four, Heather. So,
she would come over, and like, I'd have soap in the microwave that we were doing some experiment, and there was like soap flakes all over. And she, you know, that was great because she had four young boys, and
I thought you just had soap in the microwave because you had gone beyond the level of crazy that you accidentally messed your coffee with the soap.
No, you can put an Ivory soap bar in the microwave and it like starts expanding and turns into almost like snow.
It's like a peep. Crazy. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, but
yeah, not as sticky.
All right, we'll have to try that. That's a good afternoon activity.
Maybe Google or go on Pinterest. You'll see it.
All right, we'll add that to the show notes. Okay, well, you know, I have felt overwhelmed by my motherly calling in moments, and I know my friends have too. And so I just love to hear, what's your encouragement? Like, what do you tell yourself when you just feel like, man, I don't know if I could do another day of this?
I vividly remember, I had one and I was pregnant with the second, and my husband came home and I said, I'm done. And I walked out the back door to the garage, and I'm standing in the garage, and I realized I don't have any keys. And I'm mad. I just stormed out, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. I just felt so embarrassed. And then I just had to sheepishly walk back in. He had his arms open and he gave me a hug. And I remember one night, you know, I did the whole guilt sermon thing.
Oh, yeah. Which one? I mean, I've got like five in my back pocket.
And so I was doing that thing where I'm just tearing down all the things I did that day and what a terrible mom I am. And my husband looked at me and goes, does any mom think she's doing a good job?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. He's like, can't you just be easier on yourself? You know, there was even a season this last year where no matter how many kids you have, first of all, can we take that off the table? Because I honestly think it's overwhelming to be trying to get pregnant. It's overwhelming to be pregnant. It's overwhelming to have one. It's overwhelming to have one and be pregnant. It's overwhelming to adopt. It's over every part of this whole human beings, taking care of human beings is overwhelming at any stage. And it's not like, oh, once they go off to college, it's all easy breezy. I mean, you still have stress and worry, and there are these full adults out there that you just launch in the world, and what decisions are they going to make? It's not like this is never going to be overwhelming. I think that we learn to slowly take things off our shoulders that were never intended. Like you said, we think that we need to do X, Y, and Z so they turn out. When we slowly realize, I was never in control. I'm never going to be in control. I have no ability to turn you into something. And just like I can't take credit for the good you do, I can't take credit for the bad you do. Like, I mean, you're your own person. Yes, God calls us to train. Yes, God calls us to love and have compassion and comfort. But there were a lot of really great parents in the Bible whose kids didn't, quote unquote, turn out. There were a lot of great people like David who, quote unquote, their sin overtook them and they made wrong decisions and they repented. It's not like there's straight line perfect people outside of Jesus in the Bible. Even Solomon, he set aside, not Solomon, sorry, Samson. We were just talking about Samson the other day. Angels come, say, set him aside. He's special. He's going to do great things. And he struggled over and over and over again and made wrong choices.
Yeah.
He ended up having his eyes gouged out, but he still fulfilled the purpose God had for him.
Yeah.
And we have to trust that no matter what journey our kids are on, it's God who has them. And have you ever heard of Kat Armstrong?
Yes.
Okay, so I interviewed her and we talked about motherhood, identity, career, and identity. Mm. And she made a really good distinction between calling and assignment, which I thought was really helpful. Calling is what all of us have been given to go into all the world and make disciples. Mm-hmm. Assignment is where we're doing that.
Yeah.
So motherhood is an assignment. It's one part,
specific
of
facet,
your whole story. Mm-hmm. There were seasons of our lives where we were speech language pathologists, and that was our assignment. There were seasons of my life where I was a university professor. There were seasons in the future that I don't even know yet, being a podcaster. This is an assignment. And so we have to trust that when we think of it that way, we pull back and we say, okay, my calling still is to make disciples of my children, and I will do that by me following Christ and inviting them to do the same. So if my eyes are towards Christ and I'm lifting my eyes to him, then my kids are going to watch what I do more than they do what I say. Yeah. So they're going to watch what they're going to watch and do what I do more than they do what I tell them to do.
Yeah.
So if my eyes are constantly on them and do it right, why aren't you doing it right? You've got to get this right. And that's overwhelming. It's not overwhelming to turn to Christ and say, help me get my relationship right with you.
Yeah.
And your children come alongside and follow you in that. And I think, you know, I don't know what overwhelms you on a day-to-day basis. I remember the constant needs and just the constant pouring out. My personality likes to do something and have it be done. And not undone again.
Mm-hmm.
So the achiever side
of
me. You
got the J on the Myers-Briggs.
No, I think I'm ENFP.
No way. J is finished. You like to have tasks complete. Check the box.
I don't make to-do lists, though.
Okay.
I'm not a to-do list person at all. I'm just reacting. But like, I love crafts. Mm. I love crocheting. I love the fact that a podcast is done and it's not undone.
Okay.
I don't love doing the dishes. I don't love doing the laundry. I don't do any of those things. I am a hot mess when it comes to those kind of tasks. So I'm not a task person, but I like to have things be finished. And motherhood was a lot of unfinished things.
It totally is.
Or finished and undone.
Yeah, you just finished it and then it's undone again, like you said.
You change a diaper, new to change it. Over and over. It's like a constant having this. It's like Groundhog's Day over and over again. So I think that for me, that was where I felt overwhelmed. So I think for each mom, recognizing what is overwhelming me right now. Mm-hmm. Is it a burden for how they're going to turn out? Okay, then I need to talk to God about what's the truth there. Is it this the daily weight of all the needs? Okay, maybe I need a break. Maybe I need to make sure that I'm getting a night or I'm doing something. For me, I always had to have a something else.
Yeah.
Whether it was teaching in a university, whether it was having a couple speech clients, whether it was I helped with MOPS and the registration. I needed a something else so that I wasn't putting all of my energy and time into thinking my kids were my product.
That's one of the things I really wanted to ask you about, because this is new for me, having a podcast and also being a mom. And I assume that it's something that's helping you recharge. So how do you prioritize these things on the side, like you're talking about, that just allow you to be a better mom?
My husband's really good at encouraging me to do that. So it helps if you have a spouse who sees gifts in you and allows you space and time for those outlets. So like tonight, I helped with putting boys to bed, but then I said, you know, I need to go do this interview. And he's very encouraging of that. Or he's always, you know, telling other people how proud he is of me and making space for that. So I think having a support system is really helpful. In different seasons, you know, he just always did what he could to support giving me that recharge time. I have one friend, another mentor, she homeschooled her three. And then for her recharge, what she would do is on Friday nights when her husband came home from work, she'd have the pizza already and the movie picked out. She just left. Like, the second he was in the door, she left. And she'd go to La Madeleine or whatever and just sit there, and she'd bring her Bible or her calendar and whatever else she wanted to work on. But she knew always that Friday night was her recharge time. Mm. She had it on the calendar.
Yes, to look, she forward, could look to. Forward to. That's so important.
And some introverts, that's what they need, just time alone. For me, friendships, time with women. So I'm typically usually a part of some women's Bible study or group to get that kind of outlet of friendship, social need met, because again, I don't love the other moms and kids thing together. So I need just the adult conversation time.
Because you don't really get a whole lot of adult conversation when you're doing a play date. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's like start and stop all the time.
Well, I love how you've mentioned just these different little resources along the way, and I will definitely be sure to list those in the show notes. But I'd love just to hear if you have three resources for motherhood. This could be anything from a book to obviously your podcast, which we'll link to in the show notes, or even an experience that you would suggest to moms.
So I just chatted yesterday with Paul David Tripp. I'm going to have him on the show in
September.
That
is so exciting. I saw that announcement on your Instagram.
I would say his parenting book is probably one that I will now say is my top three resource.
Awesome.
I think that it could be read on repeat to get your heart in the right place so that you do let go of those burdens that were never intended for you as a mom.
I've heard it's very gospel-centric.
It's incredibly gospel-centric. Like, I was holding myself back from just completely repeating everything he said on your podcast because it's that too. And then another resource, because exercise for me helps me so much mentally to be in a healthier place and feel like I've given myself something. I love the Revelation Wellness podcast.
I do too.
She's amazing in that podcast. The Rev the Word episodes are a great little way. Even if you push a stroller and you listen to it,
you can do any workout. You can lift weights. You can do intervals. You can do spin. You can do anything.
Anything. And she talks you through it. And she has music. And she also then focuses in on a scripture. So your mind is meditating on truth while you're working out. It's all good.
I really like her. That's great.
And then I would say that Kat Lee, Hello Mornings, if you don't have a habit. Again, all my motherhood resources are really about you and God and spending time in truth, because
how else can you mother?
It's not about like you need this exact right discipline program or you need this exact, you know, X, Y, and Z. There's no formula. It's you and God talking about the kids he's handed you and what he wants you to do for that day. Because I mean, like you said, with the homeschooling, that's not logical. That does not make sense.
Right.
I mean, my dad passed away last year. I'm taking care of my mom. She's lived with us for a year. Why in the world would I choose to homeschool? I'm hosting this podcast, but it's been right. It's been good. It's been exactly what my kids need and what I need. And it's actually often a little bit easier than having them in school because I control the schedule. Anyway, so just having those things, those resources that connect you with God so that you hear from him is my recommendation.
I think that's a great recommendation. And I'm excited because, I don't know, I just am excited to hear what your three simple joys are, because I have a feeling we'll get to learn from those as well. So one of the questions I ask every guest is, what are your three simple joys? And I'd love to hear yours.
Right now, it's watching old Friends episodes with my husband. Oh, we were on vacation, and that was like one of the only channels they had was old Friends episodes.
That.
And we were like, this is so funny. Why have we not been watching this? And just even going back to, they didn't have cell phones once again.
Yes.
They had relationship. And anyway, we've been doing that. The other thing I love with my husband is we take walks on Saturday mornings.
Okay,
and once you, when you get kids old enough, or I guess you could strap yours in a stroller at this age.
Yeah.
but mine are old enough that I can leave them at home, and we just get our coffees and we take off.
Oh,
and
wow,
sometimes it's like
amazing.
An hour now that my mom's here. We just have the best conversations, shoulder to shoulder. I don't know. I feel like date nights can be kind of high pressure, and
yeah.
I think we actually have better conversations.
A good morning walk.
Yeah. Just making that a priority instead of going straight to screens is one of my simple joys. So my third one is just girl time. Mm-hmm. I just really get excited. I went to a friend's house last night after I was with Meredith at church. I then went to another friend's house, and like I show up and she hands me a glass of wine and a piece of chocolate. That's the best.
Yes, that's all that's needed for hosting.
Yeah, exactly. And I just said, you know, your home just feels like a warm hug. And it does. I just feel very welcomed, and it feels good to be seen and have a place, you know, where you're welcomed.
That sounds really mm-hmm. dreamy. And mm-hmm. I feel welcomed by you in my closet right now. So it's kind of fun to host a podcast and also feel welcomed and the spirit of hospitality even miles apart. So thanks for that. And before you go, I would just love to hear, this is another question that I ask every guest, because we're all on this journey to glorify God. And we've all had people that have impacted us along the way. And I just love to hear from you who it is that's had the greatest impact on your own journey with Jesus.
Well, this will probably bring all the tears.
Aww.
Yeah, I would definitely say my dad. He was very intentional in spending time in God's word. He was very good at habits. I remember high school friends kind of laughing when they went on vacation with us, because my dad had this little trampoline and he would jump on it, like kind of jog on it.
Cutie.
And I knew while he was jogging on it, he was praying. But they didn't know. And so they were like, what is he doing out there? I was like, well, he's praying. And then when he would go to the bathroom every morning, he had his Bible there. So I knew he'd have his time reading God's word. And he always taught a Bible study. He always was teaching others. And it was always to businessmen and women at like a restaurant he would rent out. And then he was so good about taking me out. We had donut dates every other week. He would take me or my brother. And I had my little Precious Moments Bible.
Oh, yes.
And I get to pick out the sprinkled donut. And we'd sit down and we'd read a little section and devotional, and then he'd just ask me about life and we'd pray. And I think it is not hard for me to believe in a God who unconditionally loves us and sees me and smiles and delights in me, because I had a father who loved me like that and who delighted in me, who danced with me in the kitchen. And I grieve for the woman listening. I'm sad that she has, if she did not have that, because I know it's very hard to see God like that when you did not have a man in your life who treated you with unconditional love and affection and joy. And so, I think that's one of my passions, is to help women find healing in their journey, that they can trust Jesus, that they don't have to perform in a way to earn his love, but to just dance in and accept his acceptance and his abounding delight over them.
Well, it's so cool, Heather, to get to see you from a distance live on your dad's legacy. And I'm really, really grateful for the way in which you do that and the way in which you share that with people that don't, like, you don't even personally know, like me. So thank you so much just for doing that, even though I know it takes a lot of bravery and humility and sacrifice on your part. So I'm really, really grateful, and I'm just so honored to have had you on the show today. I can always use the encouragement to look away from myself and look to Jesus in whatever assignment I'm facing, but especially the assignment of motherhood. I love this chat with Heather. You guys can find her noteworthy quotes, social media information, and the links to all the things we discuss in the show on hunterbulis.com in the show notes. Be sure to connect with us throughout the week on Instagram or Facebook at Journey Women Podcast. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If this is your very first episode, I am so glad you're here. But if you're a regular listener, I would just love it if you could hop over to iTunes if you haven't done so already and leave a review to help us get Journey Women into the hands of other women on their journeys to glorify God. Thank you guys so much for all of your support and encouragement. I really love journeying with y'all. Hope to see you guys here next Monday. Have a great week.